This is Universal Star Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And this is Detective David Love.
And we are broadcasting live from BBS Radio from the land down under. Welcome to our show.
Welcome. Today, we're very excited to have our very special guest, psychologist Ed Rubenstein, on our show today. He's director of education for the Heart-Based Institute in the United States, and he's going to be here to talk to us about heart-based therapeutics and heart intelligence and everything that comes from the heart.
And so we are going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with him.
Absolutely. Looking forward to this. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very grateful for the chance to be here with you, David and Lana, and to share about the heart to whoever is out there listening. So, first I'd like to, can I just share a little bit about the Heart-Based Institute?
Oh, we'd love to hear
Absolutely.
All about it.
And we'd love to hear about your experiences as well and your background.
Wonderful. Okay, well, let me share a little bit first. Heart-Based Institute is a 501c nonprofit organization, and we have three branches. So branch one is training human service providers. And the second branch is research, and the third branch is social service projects. And the heart-based training for human service providers is based on a heart-based therapeutic curriculum. And what we're doing is training human service providers and caregivers to bring heart into whole person care and to learn a heart-based approach to preventing burnout and compassion fatigue. So I finished my doctorate in counseling psychology from Florida State in 1987, and since that time I've been on the front line with people who are on severe levels of distress. So after I graduated in 1988, I was working in a rehabilitation hospital, and right before my eyes, I saw the opioid epidemic begin to grow and grow and grow. So right now we have a situation in the United States, I don't know how things are in Australia, but the United States has 6% of the world's population, and we consume 80% of the world prescriptions for pain medication. But this isn't really about, from my experience, about people, you know, just having an opioid problem. The root cause is that people are self-medicating because they don't know how to deal with their emotional pain. So they're numbing their pain. So in addition to that, I see so many people over the years with anxiety, with panic attacks, large amounts of medication. And I'd ask, you know, has anyone ever taught you how to relax? Has anyone ever taught you how to feel positive feelings? And they said no. And the problem is once they're started on medications, it's much harder to get them off. And yet, people, even with panic attacks, without medication, they could learn to thrive, they can experience deep levels of peace, calm, gratitude in their lives. But this is the thing, the problem that we're facing, from my experience, is not just with our human population that's in so much distress. The problem is also in the human service providers that provide service to people in distress. So what I'm finding is that we also have a crisis in terms of human service providers being burned out and developing compassion fatigue. I've worked on many interdisciplinary teams, and I just continue to see service providers really burning out, and it takes a toll on their health and their well-being. So the essence of heart-based caring is that caring and serving is not supposed to be painful. And when it is painful, we're not properly serving others and we're harming ourselves. So Heart-Based Institute has certification programs. And one of these certification programs, support specialist, is about training human service providers to prevent compassion fatigue through heart-based presence, how to create safe transformational spaces so that the people we serve can experience positive change, and also to be able to teach people how how to relax. And this includes people, because there's so many, you say, are you able to relax? And say, I'm the last person on the planet that could ever learn to relax. There's no way that I could ever learn to relax. And even people that fall into this category are able to learn to relax, and they're able to learn how to experience a state of heart-mind alignment when their heart and mind are working together as a team. And then the next level of certification is helping people to dissolve trauma, problems, burdens, emotional reactivity. And this happens through our heart's connection to the source of unconditional love. And amazing shifts can happen in a short amount of time with people that have severe PTSD. So that's an overview of the Heart-Based Institute. And I have a lot more I look forward to sharing with you. But
fantastic.
So you know, what I wanted to clarify, because I'm, you know, talking about the heart as being so important. And first, even as a psychologist, if you ask me, you know, what is the most important thing we could teach someone to have a fulfilled life, it would be how to shift and experience positive feeling easily, effortlessly, at any time. Because if we could do that, we can have more success in our life. But if we don't know how to shift into positive feeling, then life is going to have much more struggles. And our heart is the key. It's the doorway for learning to easily and effortlessly shift into positive feelings in each and every moment. And the reason is because our heart is the center of true heart feelings such as peace, calm, gratitude, expansiveness, joy, and love. But what I wanted to clarify is when Heart-Based Institute is using the terminology heart, when we talk about opening our heart, we're not talking about the physical heart. We're talking about the non-physical heart. And some people say, what do you mean non-physical heart? So what I'd like to share about that is that when we talk about our mind cannot be found under dissection. Our mind cannot be found under an MRI. Our mind is non-physical. And just like we have a non-physical mind, we have a non-physical heart. And that non-physical heart is the center of true heart feelings. And these true heart feelings, the peace, calm, joy, these are the natural expressions of our heart. And what makes our hearts so special is that our heart's connected to the source of unconditional love. So our deepest knowing, our deepest wisdom, our deepest, most fulfilling experiences are accessed through the doorway of the heart. So are you guys able to hear me? I'm not sure how
we can hear you.
We can. I'm Ed. I wanted to ask you, what do you mean by mind? Because I guess I'm a bit confused when you say our mind is not a physical thing.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from my, you know, I'm a psychiatrist, come from a scientific background, but I've certainly come to the conclusion that our spirit does not reside in our consciousness, perhaps, does not fully reside in the brain. But I guess are you when you mean the mind, do you mean our spirit, or do you mean the logical conscious process?
Well, I'm talking, you know, when I'm, so for me, spirit is access to the doorway of our heart. And I'll get into that a little bit more, because our heart is connected to the source of love, and I'll share a little bit about that. But when I talk about physical heart and non-physical heart, similarly we say you have a brain and you have a mind. But when we say mind, the mind that's connected to a brain, it is non-physical in that you can't see it. You can't prove that your mind exists, because you can't find it under an MRI. So similarly, when we're talking about the non-physical heart, there is something there that is very real. And so let me share a little bit more about that. One of the roles I play is I support people in the last chapters of their life. And it's become very clear to me about people in the last chapters of their life. They're attempting very often to do a review of their life, to find meaning, to figure out what their life was about. And very often they find themselves reflecting back over specific events in their life when they were really touched, when they were really moved. It could have been a marriage, the birth of a child, a special moment in contemplative prayer, a special moment in communion with nature, when they really felt moved, when they felt they were so touched. These were the special moments, and they're not that many for many people. Sometimes these special moments of connection, they can count them on their hands. Those moments that stand out above the rest. Now, this is the question, Lana. When that person felt deeply touched, what part of them felt touched? What part of them felt, I was so touched? What do? They don't touch their head. They touch their chest. Because our non-physical heart in our chest is connected to the core of our being. This is where we're moved. And by learning to live a heart-centered life, the idea is not just to accumulate a handful of special, meaningful moments, but we live our life in a way where we experience gratitude and joy in our moment-to-moment lives. So one thing I want to clarify, because I run into this a lot, David and Lana, when I'm talking about our heart's connection to the source of unconditional love. Some people, you know, will say, you know, why are you calling this unconditional love? Why don't you call it energy? You know, why aren't you calling it unified field, quantum field? Why are you getting mushy? Why are you talking about love? So I'd like to explain from the perspective of the Heart-Based Institute. When a mom and a dad are bonding with their baby, and there's this just beautiful connection going on between mom, dad, and the baby. And if I come over and I'm observing them bonding, and I say to them, hey, you guys got great energy with your baby, they'll look at me like I'm crazy. They say, what are you talking about, energy? This isn't about energy. This is about love. And when the heart opens multidirectionally, and the reason I'm using the word multidirectionally is opening the heart is not just about opening the heart above or in front of us. It's about opening the heart to the left, to the right, behind us, and below us. It then becomes very clear that the relationship of our heart to source is not an energetic relationship. It's a relationship that's based on unconditional love. And that love is present in every moment to remove what's not of love. And when we learn to trust and accept that connection over us thinking, I'm the one in charge who has to achieve a state of self-mastery, when we open to that connection of love can dissolve what's not of love and free us from so much of our emotional pain, trauma, and hurts, and places of unforgiveness, resentment, guilt, shame, unworthiness, abandonment, rejection, so that the love could set us free.
That's very beautiful.
It is.
Very beautiful. However, I'm a little bit confused about you saying that that love is not energy.
Yes.
Well,
when we, thank you for asking. So when we talk about energy, we're really talking about polarity. You have polarized opposite poles. In order for love to be unconditional, it cannot be energy because it's not polarized. It's something that's non-polarized. It's something that's beyond polarity. And because unconditional love is beyond polarity, it can be used to dissolve polarity. So let me just share a little more about that in terms of, you know, the basic premise of the Heart-Based Institute. And the basic premise is that there is an innate longing in the core of every being to feel profoundly safe and unconditionally loved. And this is the longing for completion, to never be separated from love again. The longing, you know, to remain in the arms of love. And the completion of this innate longing in the core of every being, it's not just for an individual, it's not just for me, because we're all linked, we're all connected, because this life isn't just about us. And it's about this source of unconditional love for every being, everywhere, regardless of what anybody believes, whatever they did. Unconditional love means never for one moment has there ever been a condition, or else unconditional love wouldn't be unconditional. Now, what I'm sharing is a really tricky concept for a person's brain to conceive. And from my experience, years back before I had a connection to the heart, I knew of the word unconditional love, and I say, oh yeah, that's really nice, but I never really got it. I never really knew what it meant, because it was a mental construct, it was an idea, it was a concept. And from our experience at the Heart-Based Institute, only through the doorway of the heart can we realize and experience the real meaning of unconditional love. And that complete love for every being is regardless, no matter what we ever did, because love never judges. So many of us do not realize that that fulfillment of our innate longing to feel profoundly safe, to feel unconditionally loved from our heart's connection to the source of love, is what people are really searching for. So what ends up happening is, in that search, there's often misdirected attempts to find the completion of that innate longing. And those misdirected attempts sometimes can lead to suffering, or it could lead to dead-end paths.
Yeah. A very, very deep concept there, that I think it does take people a long time to understand. I remember once someone described love as a state of being rather than of direction.
Yes. So, Lana would, from our perspective at Heart-Based Institute, you know, we do run into people when they say they're not comfortable with the concept of the experience of unconditional love. And we have to see if it feels more comfortable to relate to unconditional love as unconditional gentleness. And the reason is, as one is going deeper into the connection of dissolving into the experience of unconditional love, the quality of love is a sublime gentleness, because love never forces. You know, love is always the most gentle. It never judges. And love is such a tricky word, because, you know, people think about love in terms of their concept of human love. But when we're talking about the source of unconditional love, it's something that is so beyond any type of human comprehension to grasp. And when you're in the experience of it, you, even if you don't have the word to say this is love, you can relate to it through the experience of knowing that the gentleness is becoming more sublime. And that experience of gentleness And as it becomes more sublime, it's not just something that's inside of us, you know, that's something inside of us, and, you know, that we touch our heart and say, yes, there's something inside of me. The transition in the process of going deeper into the fulfillment of that innate longing is that all of us, our whole being, is within that. And that's where the boundaries of separation begin to dissolve. And it feels for many that go through that experience that they realize what they thought was normal was a prison. And a prison of, you know, being in separation. And they didn't realize the extent of that prison of separation until the walls and the armor, you know, begin to come down. And some of the obstacles and the opening of the heart is these misconceptions that people have out of fear of what will happen if the field of the heart opens up without a boundary. So, you know, will I get hurt? You know, the last time I opened up my heart, I got chewed up and spit out. But that's not the same heart we're talking about. This is a spiritual heart. It's not an emotional heart. Some
right.
people will feel, if I open my heart, will I be able to say no? Will others take advantage of me? What will I pick up all the stray dogs in the neighborhood and all the homeless and bring everyone into my house? But these are some of the misconceptions that people have. They're concerned if they open their heart, they'll pick up negative energy or they'll lose control, but it's all actually the opposite. That the opening of the heart by feeling what's there is the safest place to be. And that safety is the GPS that leads to the fulfillment of that innate longing to feel profoundly safe and unconditionally loved. So what I find, you know, as a psychologist in our society, one of the biggest obstacles, I call it the obstacle of the indoctrination or the conditioning into the performance-based model. And we don't always realize the full extent in which we've been programmed to function under the dictates of what I'm calling this performance-based model, because it's such a trap, and it may have been all we've ever known since we've been children. It's so ingrained in our life. So our performance-based perception, it affects our thinking, our desires, our beliefs of whether we're a success or whether we're a failure. And we've been so conditioned to confuse performance-based emotions as being the same as the ultimate joy. But that ultimate true joy can only be experienced in our heart's connection to the source of unconditional love. So performance-based emotions can lead us to different types of feelings and self-esteem and confidence and self-worth. But it doesn't lead to the ultimate fulfillment of that innate longing that is that deepest yearning and longing in the core of our being to experience completion.
That's, I must say it, I'm really so excited by this notion of a second heart, a spiritual heart. And you're right, a lot of people are afraid of opening up because of bad experiences in the past. But if we know that we have a spiritual heart, which is perhaps more of, I guess, our creator or of the universe rather than the heart where we can be hurt, that's just an amazing concept.
Yeah,
a second heart, which is spiritual, which is, I'm assuming, all powerful, all nurturing, or wanting to be nurtured, but not a heart that can be hurt.
And maybe that's divine. Maybe that's divine love or higher love. The thing that we call universal soul love. Perhaps that's the love of the universe or the love of the creator. I don't know.
Well, that's probably why we did come up with the concept of universal soul love,
right?
Because I guess we were thinking of that. Well, you know, having, you know, I'm of Buddhist background as well as Christian, but I guess the reason we have that title is that we have been searching for, I guess, a universal, all-empowering, loving heart, a heart which is powerful
more
and
powerful
cannot be hurt,
human.
But can love.
More powerful than human love, our concept of love. Where we become love connectors of the divine source. We are channelers of love because love itself is a conscious, I guess we're not calling it an energy, but in any case, we can channel the love of the universe through ourselves and express it to others in the world. And it's certainly not a novel concept, but we're all on our own paths and our own journey in life and learning these ideas and rediscovering things. So we're all evolving at our own pace. So I think that...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. This is when I'm talking about the source of unconditional love. Anyone is free according to their terminologies. We use neutral terminology, and whatever anybody is comfortable with, they could translate to their own terminology. So we could call this divine love. And it's real. And we're here to be an instrument of that love. You know, we're here through the doorway of our heart to let our heart's connection to unconditional love radiate and to be shared. And that's our highest calling. But one of the problems that I began to share before about this performance-based model is we got lost in thinking we got to get good enough. I went through this for so many years in my journey. My spiritual journey, you know, began, you know, in the early 70s, and when I was in a bad car wreck and got catapulted out of my body and just saw everything that ever happened to me before my eyes. And when I got out of the hospital, I realized as a young man in college, I didn't have a clue who I was and what was going on. And my existential search began and took me to live in Nepal and India for 3 years. But since that time, I got to Nepal and India in 1975. I was searching to get good enough. I was on a path of self-mastery to get good enough. But when we really understand through the heart's connection what unconditional love really means, it's not about getting good enough. It's about relationship with the divine through our heart, through our spiritual heart. So the beautiful thing about our heart, I was sharing that the spiritual heart has true heart feelings. Now, I'm differentiating true heart feelings from emotions that are generated when the ego's running the show, the ego, you know, gets a little more triggered. I'm calling true heart feelings the natural expressions of the spiritual heart. And these true heart feelings are not performance-based. This natural byproduct, the peace, the calm, light, beauty, joy, expansion, this love, is a natural byproduct from our connection to the source of love. And it doesn't have anything to do with our life accomplishments, our status, our achievement, our ranking, how good we could get. Being able to access these true heart feelings, it's not about how good we are, how perfect we could become. It's not related to our ego. So we don't earn the right to experience these true heart feelings. It's our birthright to naturally experience them because it's the doorway to our authentic, our genuine self, to our spirit, to our true self. And once we understand that, we're so grateful that the source of unconditional love and its connection to the core of our heart is always present. And whether or not we're loved is never an issue. Because if that was an issue, then unconditional love wouldn't be unconditional love. It would be conditional love, and all of existence would be in great challenge. So unconditional love remains unconditional love, always has been, forever, and that can never change.
Unconditional love implies that you are good enough. And that's an interesting concept I had spent some time writing about in one of my books a while back. We're not trying to become good enough. Good enough, the meaning of good enough is that you are now good enough, right now in this moment. So there's no becoming in good enough. Even Lana and I, in our relationship a while back, we came up with the concept of the good enough partner. I'm not trying to make Lana better. She's not trying to make me better. We're certainly complementing each other in our relationship and with our personal qualities and talents. And by doing that, we are improving individually and within our relationship together.
It's a very simple but very powerful concept. Very true, but I guess it does take people a while to understand it. I think once they get it, they get it. So, look, we're going to take a break now. And after the break, I'd really like to talk a bit more about this and how you help, people that are in the business of, providing therapy, providing human services,
sure.
How you help people get there and how you help perhaps the clients get there.
And in fact, I want to bring up my experience with heart-based therapy and how I came to know the Heart-Based Institute. So
we'll
be back.
Thanks so much.
Hello, this is Universal Soul Love, Dr. Lana Love.
Detective David Love, welcome back
to our show.
So today we have our special guest, Ed Rubenstein, clinical psychologist and director of education for the Heart-Based Institute, talking about heart-based therapeutics and everything to do with coming from the heart and having a heart-centered expression of life and an outlook of life.
And I must say, just talking about this actually makes me feel like my chest is expanding. Just talking about this feels good.
There's something
very beautiful about it. And I'm just very excited about the concept of, I don't know whether you call it a spiritual heart or not, there's almost a second heart that we have, which is all-powerful and all-loving.
And it's interesting because we were just talking about off the air about heart intelligence. We've had Heart Math on the show in the past, talking about how you can measure heart love fields. I'm not saying this correctly, but anyhow,
the research was very focused on the brain before. Now the research is starting to be focused very much on the heart, and amazing research that have found that the energy field of the heart is actually greater than that of the brain.
And not only that, but what you're saying, Lana, or both of you are saying, is that not only is there heart intelligence, but there's also a spiritual intelligence to the heart, a second level, perhaps. I'm not sure, but that's what I'm just getting out of this.
Which I guess you're saying is not an energy-based, but more of a, perhaps, an attitude, a state of being?
Not only does the heart have an intelligence, but there's another level to this, maybe.
Yes. Have I understood it properly?
Let me share a little more, and I'll just, see if I can clarify some other ideas about our understanding of heart. So, the typical configuration that most, what we call normal, what is normal? Normal is what most people are doing. And the typical configuration is that the mind, the brain, the mind is more dominant. And when the brain and the mind is more dominant, then what happens is the field of the heart is not open properly. It's more closed. And especially if we become emotionally reactive, when we become emotionally reactive, the spiritual heart closes even more. So when we're living with an overly dominant mind, and this is something we've been programmed and conditioned from a very young age, because education is about the education of your brain, not about how to live a heart-centered life, then when the mind is overly dominant, the ego is more in charge. We're a little too top-heavy, and we may be interpreting events from a limited perspective, but we think our perspective is reality. But when the heart and mind come into sync, it's like a Bluetooth. So when I'm talking about a Bluetooth, the heart and mind working together as a team and they're synced, it's not that the mind and the brain is the center or the core that sync with the heart. That's not what I'm referring to. What I'm talking about is the heart is the core or the center. The mind gets synced with the heart, and the result is a state of heart-mind alignment where the brain, the mind, becomes a friend, it becomes an ally. It's working together in a very harmonious relationship with the heart, and the wisdom, the innate wisdom of the heart, is guiding one's life. So the way it shows up is when the field of the heart is open, that open heart field has a direct effect upon the quality of thought, the quality of the way we respond. So the way that one perceives and experiences reality is a totally different perspective when the field of the heart is open compared to when the mind is overly dominant and the field of the heart is closed.
So, and I guess that's why in Buddhism they refer to the heart mind.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
something.
One of the things that is the problem here is that this spiritual heart is not yet opened. And one of the reasons it's not opened is there are many blockages in the field of the heart. And those blockages are there from when the ego was running the show. So when the ego was running the show, we contaminate the field of the heart. So in the field of the heart, from the whole span of our life, you know, we're talking about all the times we've been annoyed and angry and frustrated or enraged or bitter or envy or greedy or jealous or pride or vanity, guilt, shame, unworthiness, abandonment, rejection issues, all that whole accumulated stuff that we create when the ego is dominant running the show is what has contaminated the field of the heart. And that's why when you first connect to the heart, you're not getting the fullness of the experience, because the deep core connection of the heart, as it's radiating out, it's stepped down because it has to pass through all our stuff. And we all got stuff. And that's why when we talk about things like, you know, recovery, my understanding of recovery is it's a returning to who we really are as a spiritual being. So some people, when we talk about recovery, they think of addiction. They say, you know, someone needs a needle to hang out of their arm before they're really in bad shape, or they're drinking a bottle of vodka. But what I'm saying is recovering to return to who we really are. People are stuck in limited patterns, and it's time for us to begin to be grateful that we are not our limited patterns, and to be honest with ourselves and take a look at our stuff. So people, it's time to take a look at patterns of arrogance and judgment and self-righteousness and fear, or attachments to shopping or materialism or the internet or whatever it is that we're searching to climb a ladder to get good enough. Because the whole idea is we need to stop climbing the ladder as if I just try hard enough, I'm going to get there, and just stop and begin to experience and feel.
You know what? It's interesting. I just want to add quickly, please, that I'm feeling now, this is interesting, more in tune with your words in the second half, and my own personal field is much more balanced. It's kind of an interesting effect.
So let me just invite you both and whoever's listening just to get a feel of what I'm talking about. So the first thing is, in order for this spiritual heart to become activated, we have to reduce the domination of the mind so they could come into sync, the heart and mind. And in order to reduce the domination of the mind, it's important to relax any muscle guarding and bracing. So let's just take a moment, and any muscle guarding bracing under the ears connected to the TMJ, the temporal mandibular joint, relax. And any holding guarding in the muscles around our eyes, feel free to close your eyes without getting ready to do anything. And allow the shoulders to stop resisting gravity so they can relax. Feel both arms to be more grounded in the body. Allow yourself to feel both legs, arms and legs at the same time, as the abdomen is soft. Our body is just naturally relaxed. That reduces the domination of the brain. And then, very gracefully, raise your hand and touch the center of your chest, the level of your armpit. But you're not focusing on a point. It's just to bring your awareness to the chest area. And smile, natural smile, natural, free, not a selfie smile, not a photogenic smile, just a natural, free, gentle, sweet smile to your heart. And just smile to your heart and feel what's there.
That feels really good.
Something calm. Can you feel something peaceful and calm, nice feeling?
I do. You
certainly can.
And unfortunately, we only have about a minute left.
Okay.
This is such a wonderful
But that
exercise.
Was a wonderful exercise, and I did feel that. And I experienced that on a flight to Las Vegas with someone on your advisory board named Louise Carmichael, who did this exercise with me, and it was fantastic. And this is how
wonderful.
I came to find out about Heart-Based Institute. And just in the last minute, thank you for that exercise. I'm very grateful, and just want to thank you for being on Universal Soul Love Radio with us as our special guest.
Very grateful to be with you guys. Thank you so much for having me in behalf of Heart-Based Institute. We're very grateful for the opportunity to share with you and your listeners.
Absolutely. And could you give us your website where people can contact you for more information?
Okay. Heartbased.org. That's our nonprofit website.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Really, really touched by that. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ed Rubenstein.
Thank you, guys. Track me down anytime. I look forward
to our future love to
connection.
Have you on the show again.
Yeah, and next week we're going to be having an interview with author Andrew Harvey, which is very similar to the information that you've given us today. So we're looking forward to that next week.
Wonderful.
Bye for now, everyone. Have a wonderful heart-based, focused day and week. We'll talk to you next week.
See you next time on Universal Soul Love. Bye for now.